Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
And welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
And today we're going to celebrate in the glory that is Shark Week.
Yes.
This is completely our own decision that we wanted to do a Shark Week episode because Tech Stuff has not done a Shark Week episode since July of 2009.
2009?
Shortly after podcasting was invented.
That was, how were you even alive then?
I know. And the fact there was so little Shark Tech back in 2009 that the subject we chose to cover was Bruce, also known as the mechanical shark that was used during the filming of Jaws.
Which now that you say that, I kind of wish that we could go back in time and make you not do that episode, because I really want to do that episode.
Yeah, especially since Chris had revealed that he had never seen the film Jaws. He could not quote any of the movie with me.
When you put it that way, it's not necessarily a bad thing,
I was about as speechless as you are right now, Lauren. That's how I was. I could not believe it. I couldn't fathom it. I mean, that's an amazing movie. Jaws, by the way, is easily in my top 10 films.
Wow.
Of favorite films. I mean, I think that movie's almost perfect. And part of it is because the shark didn't work so well. But if you want to hear all about Bruce and the trials and travails of the Jaws shooting schedule and how that machine that didn't work so well actually made the movie better, go back and listen to that podcast. Go to the Tech Stuff RSS feed, search for that old file and listen to it.
Yeah, just search
it was
for sharks.
Fun. Yeah,
I'm sure you'll find it.
It's the only one that pops up.
Mm-hmm.
So until today.
Yes.
So
Today we wanted to talk a little bit about the biotechnology that sharks have inside of them right now.
Yeah, cyborg sharks.
Actually, some sharks, if you really wanted to, you know, have a little bit of robotic components that humans have put in them. But naturally, shark senses are really cool, and you can't really call it technology. But some people have been developing technology to counteract it in order to help prevent shark attacks, which is pretty rad.
And some people have started working on technology that would give us a similar set of senses that sharks have. I'll talk a little bit about that, but it's something we're going to cover in greater detail in a future episode of Tech Stuff, so we won't go too far in there. But yeah, when you look at what sharks are able to do and how their senses work, it's almost like they are supernatural creatures. I mean, because they are able to sense stuff that we pathetic little humans are incapable of sensing without some sort of augmentation.
Right. This is why they are on the top of their food chain without having fancy things like guns to help them hunt.
When you hear, I'm going to quote Jaws again, when you hear them described as eating machines, which they are called in Jaws.
They are.
That's very, very true. And they are really well, I hesitate to use the word designed, right? Because that's just one sort of thing. But
sure.
They're really well suited, how about that, for eating. I mean, they're just great at hunting down and eating stuff. And all of their senses kind of pretty much tie into that, you know, find food and eat it. Or if you see something that is bigger than you that will eat you, go the other way. Those are essentially the two things that guide a shark's life. You know?
Uh-huh.
And occasionally find another shark to make little sharks. That's important too. But, let's start with talking about their ability to smell things, because this is one of those things that everyone has heard, right? That they have an incredible and very sensitive sense of smell.
Right. The statistic that gets, or not statistic, but little factoid that gets tossed around a lot is that a great white can, detect a single drop of blood in an Olympic-sized pool.
Now, rule number one, do not put great whites in your Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Do not.
And rule two, don't bleed in it.
Bad plan.
Yeah, don't do that. I love that that's the idea, though, that within an Olympic-sized swimming pool, because, of course, the first thing I think of is like some
sort of... Why did you put that shark there?
It does raise
or
the possibility...
Or why did you hang out with that James Bond villain?
Don't hang out with the James Bond villain. It does make you think of some potential amazing updates to the Olympics. But, but yeah, that
hasn't
happened.
I think that's the Hunger Games, not the Olympics.
It could be a separate
category. It
certainly would be the Hunger Games for the shark, anyway.
But so the way that shark's sense of smell works is that as they're swimming through the water, they've got two forward-facing nostrils,
mm-hmm.
Which provide for bi-directional smell.
This is what really
capability.
Blows my mind. They can actually detect where a smell is coming from.
Right, because the nerves in their noses are so sensitive that they can calculate in their brains how quickly a smell reached one nostril versus the other and
right.
use that to decide which direction it's coming from.
So it's kind of like our sense of hearing, even
right.
though and our hearing is not that great either. You know, it's very easy to fool a human being into thinking that a sound is coming from a particular direction when it's really coming from another one. But in general, if you're in a situation where a loud noise is coming from one side, that sound hits one side of your, you know, hits one ear before it hits the other, and you can think, oh, that sound's coming from this direction.
And
this
it's subconscious.
Thing.
It's not, you know, it's not something that you're thinking
yeah.
about.
The shark
that
isn't,
hard.
The shark isn't floating in the water thinking, aha, 400 yards away to my left is a tasty morsel that I shall now go and snap up. It just thinks, turn this way. These cells are incredibly sensitive, and the fact that it can take that information into account, that it has hit one side before it hit the other, and know that this is the direction it needs to move in, is pretty phenomenal. So that's smell, right?
Yeah, smell. Sound, they hear incredibly well. To be fair, sound travels faster and further underwater than it does in air.
Right. Sound always, you know, we talk about the speed of sound, but the speed of sound depends upon the medium through which it travels. So sound travels at a different speed through solids than it does through the atmosphere or through water, as it turns out. So yeah, sharks are pretty good at hearing stuff, huh?
Oh, especially things in the low pitched sound range, which helps with that that kind of flopping motion that anything that's going to be easy to catch is going to make.
Right. Yeah. So if it's an injured fish or a sick fish or something that's not able to swim very effectively, it's going to be making noises through its motions through the water that the shark can detect even from pretty far away. And in fact, sharks are able to hear at a range that's, I believe, below human hearing levels.
Right. They can hear sounds with frequencies ranging from 10 hertz to 800 hertz and are particularly responsive to sounds lower than 375 hertz. For comparison, 10 hertz is 1.5 octaves below the lowest note on a piano.
Wow.
So
sharks could appreciate some really groovy music that we just wouldn't even be able to hear.
Would not, no register at all.
We might be able to feel it.
Yeah. we can only hear sounds ranging from about 25 hertz to 16,000.
Ah, okay.
So starting at 20, so I mean, you know, we have a good scale too, but it's just up in the other direction.
I see. So our scales overlap somewhat, but on the extremes on either end, one of us is able to hear when the other one's not capable of hearing that.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be swimming in the ocean that's filled with lots of sharks, swim in a high-pitched way.
Yeah, if you were playing some sweet Mariah Carey for the shark, that shark would not even notice.
First of all, I take issue with the term sweet Mariah Carey. But fair enough. Now, of course, we're joking. And we should also say, you know, we're talking a lot about sharks, and we'll be talking more in the second half about the technology we've developed to kind of foil the senses that sharks have. But in general, remember, shark attacks, very rare. These are not animals that are out to get you.
They actually have a lot more to worry about from us than we do from them, statistically speaking.
Right. Now, there, of course, can be situations that a person is in where they are more at danger of a shark attack than others, but it's still a rare thing. I just think it's responsible to say that.
Oh, no, all the time. Yes.
Let's talk about other ways that sharks can find you and kill you. What's another sense?
Sight. They've got, okay, so you know how cat's eyes reflect light in photographs, or in the dark,
or alligators.
Yeah. This is caused by, I didn't look up the pronunciation.
Oh, tapetum lucidum.
There you go.
Which I think is Harry Potter speak for open the door.
I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, I think that's Alohomora now. No, yes. I should mention it. All right.
At any rate, this is an organ that's located behind the retina, and it's made up of reflective crystals. And
cool.
When light travels through the retina and hits them, it's reflected back out onto the retina.
See, now this is fascinating. This is the same sort of approach, by the way, that we are trying to mimic when we create solar panels.
Right.
So solar panels, you know, it's not just create something that's dark that absorbs a lot of light. We actually are trying to create solar panels using nanostructures that reflect light back down in so it absorbs as much as possible and reflects as little as possible to make the solar panel very efficient.
It's the same kind of concept of, you know, having, for example, a candle holder that has mirrored sides, like a lantern that has mirrored sides, so that it will end up producing more light for the viewer.
Now, in the case of sharks, what this means is the shark is able to see even in really dark situations, which makes sense. I mean, if a shark is swimming toward the bottom of the ocean, depending upon how deep that is, there's very little light there to take advantage of. And from what I understand, they're able to see, I guess 10 times better in dim situations than a typical human being would be able to.
Which means that, never be alone in a dark room with a shark.
So dark Olympic-sized swimming pools filled with blood are bad places to be if there happens to be a great white shark in there. And also, don't make any, like, low booming noises.
Yeah, definitely.
Good tips.
Okay.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at Concur.com. That's Concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Next, we come to
their superpowers,
the really cool superpowers. I'm going to save my favorite one for last, and go to the lateral line. And
okay,
this is a system of tubes that run up and down a shark's body, just under the skin.
Mm-hmm.
They're lined with these little hair-like protrusions that are connected to sensory cells, and so when something comes near the shark, it causes the water to stir through these tubes. Moves the hairs and alerts the sensory cells that something's going on.
So this is almost like hearing. It's very similar to the way we hear,
uh-huh.
only this time you're kind of feeling motion. So it's very similar to hearing. I mean, if you look at the human ear, then you'll see that the way we perceive sound is that we have these molecules that are banging together. I mean, sound is a very physical thing.
Uh-huh.
Molecules bang together and it ends up impacting our eardrum, which in turn moves some tiny little bones inside our ear that then end up making this kind of a sack of fluid move. And within that are these little bitty hair-like structures.
Mm-hmm.
And when they vibrate, that sends an electrical signal that we then interpret as sound.
Right.
This is similar, except they're not necessarily hearing it. They're kind of feeling like it's there's no,
it might be a little bit like a cat's whiskers.
Yeah.
In the way that, yeah, you get that motion or that contact and it's a big clue off that something
is nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this is really tricky for us to translate into something that we can identify with because this is outside of our ability.
It's like skin plus one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know how to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'd be like if I'm sitting at my cubicle and Josh Creepy Hands Clark is walking up behind me and I sense his presence before he's able to lean over me and then inhale deeply. Which, by the way,
Josh has not done that for a very long time.
He has not done that for a very long time.
Although Chuck did stand behind you in a gremlin mask a couple weeks ago.
Did he?
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You know.
Chuck got a gremlin mask. I'm not sure. I'm still not sure why.
I have a feeling one of their listeners sent it in.
Yes.
They get lots of stuff from their listeners. You know, not that I'm soliciting. I don't need you guys sending us stuff unless you want to, but. It's just that it's amazing because, you know, Josh and Chuck, they're busy.
Yeah.
So they leave the office for a while and you just
these
start looking at
it. Stack up.
They're like, they start to peek up over the cubicle walls. Anyway.
Anyway, so my favorite shark sense.
Ah, yes.
Is they can sense electrical signals. They've got electroreception.
Yeah. This is the ampulla of Lorenzini. Ampulla of Lorenzini.
Okay.
I at first thought that was the actor who is in Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, but it turns out that's Lorenzo Lamas, and it's not the ampulla of Lorenzo Lamas. So
Lorenzini was an Italian scientist a few hundred years back who found this organ. or series of.
I would call it an organ. It's a sense
sure.
organ.
Okay. Yeah. It's a series of small clusters of, electrically sensitive receptor cells that are positioned under the skin in a shark's head, kind of actually where the whiskers on a dog or cat would be.
Mm-hmm.
They're connected to pores on the skin surface. These pores are filled with this kind of gel, jelly-like stuff.
Yeah, it's really stiff stuff, but it is, yeah, because I read about a scientist who specializes in extracting this stuff from sharks that have died. Like they
okay.
are captive sharks, and if a shark uh-huh. dies, part of the process is they try to pull this stuff out so they can experiment on it as quickly as possible to
learn
more about it.
Because yeah.
we're going to talk about this stuff, but it's still largely mysterious to us.
Right.
Anyway, this particular organ is pretty cool. It doesn't sense movement. It doesn't sense sight or sound.
It senses electrical fields.
Which is crazy.
And like electrical fields that are created by a fish's heartbeat.
Yeah. All living things have an electrical field. It's what penetrates us and binds the universe together. It's not the force, but it is something that living things produce. It's just a natural byproduct of being a living thing. You have this mm-hmm. electric field around you.
As your heart and other muscles contract, they give off very small electromagnetic impulses.
Yeah, these are very, very faint. And so these incredibly sensitive organs that sharks have can detect the presence of those electrical fields. And in fact, I read about a really cool experiment where this was first kind of verified, or at least it was one of the ones that verified, and it happened back in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how they did the experiment. They got some flatfish, which sharks would like to eat, and flatfish often will be at the very bottom of the ocean floor and bury themselves under the sand.
And hide, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they are out of sight. So what they did was they put these flatfish in a little chamber that was essentially hidden from the shark. So the shark can't see the flatfish. And the chamber was supposed to also mask the smell of the flatfish, so the shark couldn't get the scent.
Mm-hmm.
But the shark still could sense the presence of the flatfish and would try and eat the chamber. So then they decided they'd have to repeat the experiment because, you know, just doing that alone does not verify that there's anything going on, right?
Sure.
We have to do good science here. So what they did next was they took those same types of chambers and they filled it with chopped up whitefish. And whitefish oil is something that will really attract a shark.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it in this chamber, and again, the chamber's sealed, so the scent isn't getting out. And it's still concealed, so the shark can't see it. And the sharks did not react. They did not go after it as if it were a fish. So this suggested that perhaps they...
Something about the fish being alive.
Was what they could sense. And so then they did a third test. In this third test, they put tiny little electrodes under the sand. And then they ran a very weak electrical current through those electrodes, creating a faint electric field. And the sharks reacted as they did when they could sense the flatfish. And this seemed to be the proof here that sharks have spidey sense.
Science!
I guess it's sharky sense.
That's beautiful.
So yeah, they can detect these electric fields and hunt out prey or predators.
Mm-hmm. It's only a few feet away from the shark's nose that this is sensible.
Right. Yeah. It's not like its ability to smell something from, you know, a kilometer
away
or whatever.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But it does mean that once they get closer to their intended prey, that they are able to zone in on it pretty quickly, even if
mm-hmm.
it's hiding.
Uh-huh. Scientists also think that they may possibly help use this for navigation
mm-hmm.
By sensing the magnetic pull of the Earth.
Wow. So they're able to actually detect the Earth's
Maybe.
Magnetic field, possibly.
Possibly. And definitely they've found that baby sharks use this while they are still in their eggs
mm-hmm.
to... If a predator is coming, the baby shark can sense it through this organ and
yep.
stay still enough.
So it'll pass
the
by.
The predator will not eat them.
Nice. Yeah, this is interesting stuff. And, you know, we've also heard all about sharks going on these long migrations and then showing up. Like whale sharks
mm-hmm.
tend to show up, I believe, off the coast of Central America. And I have a friend actually who went and got to see this in person. Actually, you know him too. It's a friend of both of ours who went and saw this in person. And from his account, it sounds like it was totally spectacular. Just see all these whale sharks.
Oh, sure.
It's an enormous number. But yeah, so it may be that they're using this ability as part of that navigational aid so that they know which way to go.
Know where they're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I feel like that about wraps up our first section here on shark inner technology.
Right. So now we're going to talk about, in the second half, all about the ways we kind of mess with sharks, really in an attempt to not be eaten by them or to study them further. Before we get into that, though, let's take a quick moment to thank our sponsor.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, we're back. So we've talked about the shark's senses. Let's talk about some of the things we do with sharks and how we study them.
Yeah, well, okay, we were just talking about shark migration habits, and this is one of those things. This applies to any kind of marine life. You know, the sea is kind of deep and a little bit dark and
not easily accessible.
Right, not super, you know, the fact that we can't breathe or walk on it is problematic for us.
Yeah.
So in order to find out more about things like sharks, we tend to tag them.
Right.
This is done in sharks' cases by acoustic trackers.
Now, this was really cool. I did not realize this until I saw the research that you sent about the fact that these are all acoustic-based. That means they're sound-based.
Right.
And, in fact, the sensors and the receptors only work when they get pretty close to one another.
Yeah. There's huge arrays of these under various oceans. The most extensive one is off the coast of Halifax, spanning 185 kilometers, which is about 115 miles.
So these are for Canadian sharks?
Yes.
I bet they're extra polite.
I'm not sure if that's a true fact, but I'm willing to roll with it.
Okay. But yeah, so if you're working with someone who has done this quite a bit, I mean, this is a process that actually doesn't take very long. The way it works is they have to first, they have to entice sharks to come close to whatever boat they are on, research boat.
Usually not difficult. Food is a pretty strong attractor.
Yeah. They just put some bait,
chum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. anyone who's watched Jaws, again, that big old bucket of chum, same sort of thing, except they usually end up putting like a perforated bucket into the water and shake it around a bit. And then within, you know, half an hour to an hour, they start attracting sharks. They catch the sharks, often using a rod and reel approach, but they'll catch the sharks, bring them aboard the boat.
As it turns out, if you turn a shark upside down, some species of shark anyway, it kind of paralyzes them, a similar effect to, you know, picking a cat up by the scruff or something like
that. Yeah, it's called tonic immobility. Actually, I've got a lot of friends who suffer from gin and tonic immobility, where you put it like at least four or five drinks in them and they ain't going anywhere. What? I didn't name you, Lauren. So, anyway, yeah, if you put a shark on its back, some sharks, they go into this tonic immobility trance-like state, which allows the researchers then to perform the procedure, which involves making an incision, implanting an acoustic device, and then stitching them up. And that can take about 10 minutes. And then they can put the shark back into the ocean. Shark swims away, none the worse for wear. Mm-hmm. And whenever it swims near a receiver, the transmission from the implant will be picked up by the receiver, and then they can track the shark's movements.
Right. And that includes tracking where they're going during different seasons, where they feed, and even where their pups are hatched and raised.
Right. So that gives us a lot more information about creatures that largely are very mysterious to us. I mean, there's only so much research you can do by capturing and putting into captivity a shark, because obviously that's a totally different set of circumstances than a shark being allowed to roam freely.
To do its shark thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool stuff. And then there's, some other things we can do with sharks that, not be eaten by them. That's a big thing that people want. So there are a lot of occupations out there that involve everything from science research to certain types of fishing or ocean harvesting.
Or even hobbyists like surfers.
Right. Where it could mean that you are occasionally put into an environment where it could be shark rich. And sharks are not out to get us, but there are times where you could be in a situation where you could be prone to a shark attack. So
right.
There's been a lot of work done in ways of making that not happen.
Which is excellent. There's one of the slightly older technologies is called electric shark repellent.
Yeah. Remember, we talked about the Lorenzo Lamas organ in the last section where it allows you to detect bad movies. Wait, I'm looking at my wrong notes. I'm sorry.
Ampulla of Lorenzini.
Ampulla of Lorenzini that allows them to detect electric fields. So here's the thing. If you overwhelm a shark's ability to detect electric fields, it causes them discomfort. It's kind of like if you were to overwhelm any of our senses.
It's a little bit like blowing an air horn, maybe, or a flash bomb or something
right,
like
yeah.
that. Flash grenade.
Like if it's an incredibly bright light, you can't look at it, right? If it's an incredibly loud sound, you want to get away. If it's an incredibly bad smell, you want out. I mean, there are all these different ways that we have experienced as human beings our senses being overwhelmed, and it's not a pleasant experience. Same sort of thing here. The electric shark repellent, the idea is to create an electric field that's not going to hurt the shark. It's not
hopefully.
Going to, yeah. The design is not to harm the shark in any way, but to create
just this.
Just
kind of stun it.
Yeah. Or just give it like a really unpleasant sensation so it gets the heck out of there.
Right. This was developed by South Africa's Natal Sharks Board around 1997.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently owned by a company called Shark Shield, the technology.
Right.
And originally, it was called Protective Oceanic Devices, or PODs. Currently, it is called Shark Shield.
Yep.
And it works by creating an electromagnetic field detectable from a couple dozen feet away.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple meters.
It's usually between 8 and 10 meters, depending upon
the strength
of it. Yeah, it consists of a battery pack, which provides the power, and two electrodes. The one that Shark Shield showed off that I saw had an electrode that fits on a scuba tank and a second electrode that fits around the diver's ankle. So these two electrodes are what produce this electric field. And it's a weak field. It's not terribly strong because remember that shark's ability to sense these electric fields is incredibly sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take a lot to overwhelm it.
Yeah.
So when the shark swims in and encounters this intense field, it usually just jerks away.
Just bugs off. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like something like, you know, you just hit the worst smell you've ever smelled and you just got to get out of there. It's kind of like that. There's like a quick spasm and then they're just gone. So It doesn't look like there's any, it doesn't stun them to the point where they suddenly go motionless and start to sink.
Yeah. And they don't flop around or anything unpleasant like that.
It's just like, whoa.
It's just like, ooh. No thanks.
Not doing that. Yeah. So the video actually had the guy, one of the guys underneath a giant tuna that they had cut open as bait.
Wow.
While great white sharks swam around him but would not get close to him because he was wearing one of these things.
They are not guaranteed. Studies have found that sharks, I mean, basically if you have a bit of bait and you put an electric field on it or near it, a shark is gonna eat it.
Yeah. No,
humans are not tasty bait.
Right.
Most sharks, in fact, once they take an initial bite out of a human person, will go, "Ew, that's not good at all."
Yeah, that's not
and
what
swim
I want.
Away.
Yeah, it's called a test bite.
Yes.
But the problem is that a test bite can
totally kill you.
Yeah. If it's a large enough shark with a powerful enough bite, that's more than enough to at least maim you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cause you serious injury, if not actually critical injury rather. So
I recommend not being tuna bait while you're
right.
in the water.
So Olympic sized swimming pool filled with blood and tuna bait, loud, low noises. You don't want to jump in just with one of these to protect you.
Yes.
Okay, got it. All right.
Check.
This checklist is getting longer and longer. I'm never going swimming again. Not even in my pool. I mean, it's just.
This next one might comfort you a tiny bit.
Maybe a slip and slide.
The most recent technology to have been developed comes from the University of Western Australia, teamed with a biotech company called Shark Attack Mitigation System.
All right, so SAMS.
SAMS, right.
Gotcha.
And this is shark-repelling wetsuits.
Wow. All right.
Based on visual design.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So it is
okay.
Fashion so bad that sharks run screaming the other way, swim
right.
screaming.
The shark just looks like, not gonna bite that.
Not even.
How does it do this? Like, is it hiding you or is it?
Well,
there
are two types of patterns that they have developed. One is a cryptic or blinding pattern. And this is kind of like water camo. It helps you. It's a series of grays and greens and blues. And helps you blend in hypothetically with the background of the water.
Interesting. Now, that would not leave me terribly confident if the shark got close enough, because again, it could start picking up that electric field.
Absolutely. But it might at least not attract the shark's attention the way that any normal bit of surfer gear might.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So.
And if the shark doesn't come close, then that field is not going to be activated anyway. Like we said, it's very sensitive, but it has to get within a few feet of you before it starts picking anything up.
So, you know, it's a little bit like active shark camo.
Got it.
I guess.
So what's the other kind?
The other kind is warning. And this makes you so highly visible with a disruptive high contrast pattern that the shark takes one look at you and goes, that is not normal.
Yeah.
That is
that clashes.
Not tasty. And that is maybe dangerous.
Wow. Okay. So it's looking at you and it's just so, it's essentially, high contrast banding. I see that. Yeah. So
yeah,
you
look
these
very,
abnormal.
It's these very thick black and white bands. You look a little bit like a zebra surfer. And
so interesting. So if you threw a zebra into an Olympic sized swimming pool.
Don't do that. Why would you do that?
Science? Okay. No, you're fair. That's fair. Yeah. It would be cruel and unusual zebra punishment. Yeah, but I mean, these are really interesting ideas. Cause, you know, back when Chris and I first talked about doing a Shark Week episode or tech stuff, at that time, most of the stuff we were looking at was pretty low tech. We were looking at things like chainmail suits that are bite suits designed to withstand a shark's bite, but you still get bitten by the shark.
Right. And you can still sustain heavy bruising and even bone breakage through a chainmail suit like that.
And then we also talked about like shark cages, but really shark cages don't have a lot of tech to them. It's essentially a metal cage designed to keep the shark away from you.
Really good welding.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you were able to find so many interesting examples of technology being used in shark research and just protecting people who are working in environments where there are a lot of sharks.
Right.
And of course, here's where we remind our listeners yet again, sharks are not out to get you.
They are not. None of them are like Jaws.
Yeah. No, they certainly won't follow you from Nantucket down to the Caribbean and then wait for you and plan revenge like Jaws 4. What a horrible movie that is. However, you will get to meet Michael Caine if that happens. So that's kind of cool.
And sharks are very useful. I'm just going to ignore that last. Sharks are very useful. As the top of their food chain, they help keep the gray seal population in check, which sounds terrible for gray seals. But the thing is that if you take a major predator out of an ecosystem, you wind up just borking that ecosystem.
Yeah, it unbalances. And then next thing you know, you have other animals, populations exploding, which then is a negative impact on other populations and other ecosystem variables.
For example, us, if the gray seal population isn't kept in check, then the amount of fish that we can capture from natural waters goes way down because the gray seals eat too many of them.
Yeah, so it's...
And et cetera, et cetera. So if you like sushi, don't kill sharks.
Fair enough.
Sharks are hunted very frequently for their fins, which are sold as food and occasionally as like kind of herbal
medicine. Type thing. Yeah, traditional medicines. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of sharks are protected by law, although.
Which does not stop poachers at all.
It doesn't stop them at all. No. And then there are plenty of sharks out there that I think are wicked awesome, but that are not a danger at all to humans, like whale sharks. That's another example. They are not,
They're not going to chew you up.
They're not going to do that. That's not. They eat the tiniest of tiny things.
If you swam directly into its face,
it would probably wonder what the heck you're trying to do.
It might. I suppose it could crush you accidentally.
It could whack you with its tail.
Yeah.
But they tend to be these just giant, slow moving, fairly gentle creatures. I mean, they're essentially they're filter feeders. They're very similar to other filter feeders. And they're awesome. We have a couple here in Atlanta that I like to see whenever I go to the Georgia Aquarium. Well, that's a good conversation just about the science of sharks and the technology we've developed. Oh, I forgot to mention. I had mentioned at the top of the show about the possibility of developing tech that would allow us to kind of emulate what sharks can do.
Right, yeah,
Electro-sensitive idea. Yeah, so this is something that we'll talk about more in a future podcast. We're going to probably do an episode about body modification. And in the interest of full disclosure, Jonathan has two tattoos. But the body modification I was going to talk about was that there's this subculture of body modifying folks. And one of the things they like to do is have a tiny magnet implanted in their fingertip, in a fingertip. Mm-hmm. Usually it tends to be, at least the reference I've always seen is make it the ring finger on your non-dominant hand, because
so that if something terrible goes wrong, that's
you've lost the least useful finger.
Well, it's morbid, but
yeah,
cool.
It's tough, and we'll talk more about it if we do a full podcast on it. But the idea is the magnet would allow you to do things like sense electric fields, because the relative the nature between electricity and magnetism means that you have this connection.
Mm-hmm.
Now it'd have to be a fluctuating electric field.
Right.
You could detect it if you moved through it, but upon moving through it, like if you just encounter an electric field that wasn't changing, you would detect it when you first encountered it, and then it would just be normal, right? So it had to be a fluctuating electric field for you to continue to detect it. But this would allow you to do that, where you could sense electric fields but in a similar way to the way sharks do. So it's kind of interesting that there are body modification fans out there who are building in the capability of sensing things the way a shark would. Not necessarily, you know, framing it that way, but that's how it ends up. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be volunteering to do that anytime soon.
I don't want to do that either. No.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like that might be a little extreme, even for me. But however, it's kind of interesting. And we'll talk again more about that, because there's been some other interesting developments of technology built up around this kind of body modification. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there because I thought it was neat. You know, this idea of this sixth sense out of the seven that sharks have. and to kind of talk about how there are people who are sort of emulating that. Anyway, that kind of wraps up this conversation. Guys, if you have any suggestions for future topics of tech stuff, like you totally want to hear that body modification episode, let us know. Send us an email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com. Or come find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're not hiding. We're right there. Our handle is TechStuffHSW. And Lauren and I will talk to you again really soon.
on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.